Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Hi, welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today a digital legend, Stuart Hurst. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Rob. Thanks for having me.
How does digital legend sound? Was that about right?
Yes. I've not been called that before. It's better than most things, but yeah, no, I'll take that.
For the benefit of people that may not know you, Stuart, just tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
Yeah, so right now I'm Director of Cloud Accounting at UHY Hacker Young, so a top 20 firm. I handle the digital rollout across the 24 offices across the UK. Doing it 15 years or so, believe it or not, but kind of really got into the cloud and digital space about 5 or 6 years ago.
Did the cloud attract you, or did you get into the cloud? What's the story about how you dipped your toes into this crazy world?
Life changed about 5 years ago for me in the space of a week. So in the same week, I watched a video that I'm sure you'll know, Simon Sinek, What's Your Why? Yeah. Why are you an accountant? And I always thought it was because I was good at problem solving and numbers. And that video realised that actually, no, it's because I want to help businesses succeed, make their life easier. That was my big driver. And in the same week, went to ZeroCon for the first time. I'd not seen Cloud Account before, thought it was just like every other piece of software. And I came back like a convert, and that was it. Life literally changed at that point.
So you've been captured by digital. For the benefit of everyone, let's have a definition. What does digital mean in the Stuart Hurst Dictionary of Life and Business?
So for me, digital is using technology to enhance change, to add a better customer experience or make internal efficiencies. What digital is not, and what a lot of people sometimes see as initially, is bringing technology into a process that you're already doing.
So cloud is just one aspect of digital, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. It's a big element for sure. And it's certainly opening doors and revolutionising the way that accountants work.
So you've got a digital role at your firm, obviously a very large firm. How important is a digital strategy for an accounting firm? Because I presume some firms don't have a digital strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising the number of accountants I meet that still haven't really nailed that or even thought about it really. And for me, it's absolutely critical that there is a strategy in place. But it comes back to, you've got to bring it into part of the vision for the firm. And that digital element has to be part of the vision for it to grow or go anywhere, really. To have any success with it, it's got to be embedded in that vision.
Well, what kind of things would go into a digital strategy? What are we thinking about here?
So we're thinking ultimately long-term, again, about how we can improve things for business owners. It's ultimately the key driver for me. That's the why. It's not using technology for technology's sake. It's how can we improve that service or improve efficiencies internally. So things that come in is ways of working and communicating across the team. How do we do things? How our processes work? And at the front end, what is the customer experience? What do they go through? What apps can we use? How can we communicate with our clients in a better way of working, a more efficient way of working together? And for me, the strategy is moving away from this once a year style accountant, dentist-like checkup.
Sure. We know how the technology is impacting compliance. Where do you stand on the whole compliance advisory debate?
Compliance will never go away, for sure. It will always be a cornerstone of what accountants do. I just think it's got much easier nowadays to get compliance right, because machines can do a hell of a lot of it. There's some setup, there's some work to be done, but machines can do a huge amount of that processing. So the compliance is the foundation, the bedrock, if you like, that you're building. But there's now such scope for much more advisory on back of that. And even the leading accountants are only really scratching the surface of what we can do for our clients with this sheer volume of data that we now have. But it's exciting times ahead.
We had Sabi Gill on the show just recently, head of Sage UK, and he was saying that 75% of the data that we currently are using has been brought in the last 2 years. Mm. And that's quite a staggering statistic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The data and insight that we can gain from that information, customer trends, buying patterns, timings for staffing allocations, it goes way beyond your traditional, here's your profit and loss account for year end, which is still, unfortunately, for a hell of a lot of accountants, that's the go-to.
You bring up an interesting point. We do have all of this data, but surely the accountant's value is in interpreting that data and communicating that to the client in a way that adds value to their business.
Yeah, exactly. That's got to be the drive, absolutely. And we're still at a stage at the moment where we're still getting to grips with real-time data and that volume of information. So there's still a mind shift, I guess, for a lot of accountants. My go-to is the P&L and what have you done this year? What have you done last year? And we're still I think, too paper-based for my liking. There's a lot to be got from diving in live, on screen, chatting with the client on the here and now, where things are up to. Let's say we've got 80 clients, 100 clients that are bars and restaurants. Well, we can benchmark that data and assist them as a whole. And I don't think the industry's really quite there yet with using that kind of mass data.
What advice would you give to accountants that are struggling to deal with the overwhelm of technology? Because back in the day, they needed good technical skills, but now they've got to double that with good technological skills. And without making them geeks, they've still got another way around, haven't they?
Yes, indeed. And it's tricky. And I say, I've worked at small firms and large firms, and the challenges they both face are very different in a lot of aspects. But ultimately, it comes down to this digital strategy. And the first step is A, define that strategy, and B, make time to implement it. And as painful as that is, it is about pulling someone away from a traditional portfolio of work, drive that change forward. And if you don't free someone to do that, it will never happen. It will always be on the list for tomorrow.
You bring up large and small firms. I suppose larger firms have the capacity to take a Stuart Hurst out of the fee-earning stuff and sink them into digital so you can really go deep. But a smaller firm, that would be more difficult?
Yes, I think the challenges are very different. Small firms, yeah, resource in terms of staffing is very difficult. Trying to reduce someone's portfolio, I guess, or reallocate items to give someone time to work on it. It's hard on small firms in terms of economies of scale. They can't rapidly add 50 clients onto cloud and learn on bulk, if you like, en masse. So the strategy has to be slightly different. On the flip side, small firms can empower a person and they can make quite an impact in that firm, quite a amount of change in a small space of time. When I was at my old firm, we had about 8 account staff, 16 staff in total. I would say overnight, but almost, I could lay a groundwork for, right, this is how we're going to roll this out over the next 6 months. And I could change everybody's, you know, mindset, work pattern in that 6 months. At a big firm, there's no way in 6 months I'm changing everyone's working patterns.
And what you're talking about there, Stuart, is agility, isn't it? The smaller firms can pivot quite quickly, but in a firm like UHY, presumably any initiatives you want to drive forward have to go through the right channels.
Indeed, yes. The joys of board meetings.
How do you go about getting buy-in for your ideas?
There's a few steps to it, I guess. I always come back to the vision is step one of trying to pitch the why. There are audit staff that don't really get involved as often, but then understanding why some of their processes need to change, like the what's in it for them, what is the incentive for them to move, and if I can't get that over, then that's in the past when I've hit resistance.
You've been doing this a while, although you're still pretty fresh-faced and young-looking. What do you do, Stuart, when you come up against resistance? Maybe some of the old guard, the baby boomers, if you like, you're a millennial. So you're hitting brick walls, you're trying to drive through culture and change, but it's not happening as fast as you like. How do you cope with that?
Well, there's a few methods I use, I guess, at the moment. Define the vision. Step two is to segment client bases and get information on what types of clients we've got, what partners they're with, what systems they're on, and use that data to draw up a set of quick wins and get quick buy-in from people.
Okay.
You know, when I started 3 years ago, I always say I was Marmite in this office and nobody liked Marmite. Big cultural shift for a lot of people. But it was identifying clients look more up for it and more available in terms of their thought process. And also some partners and staff were more into it, if you like, and believed what I was saying early doors. And use those small wins to start building up case studies and results. And slowly over time, you start seeing whether it's great customer feedback, great recoveries, you can snowball that and use that to grow.
There's some talk about the new breed of accountants. We mentioned earlier the need now for technological skills to be bolted onto technical skills. When you look back at when you qualified, Stuart, how much of that is relevant now in your role? Because who needs double entry bookkeeping now?
It's changed, yeah, a hell of a lot. And it's a debate that rages on in accounting firms of the level of technical ability an accountant actually needs now. Is a really tricky balancing act in there. Debits and credits underpin accountancy, and I think any accountant worth his salt will need to know the fundamentals. But where you often learned them from was core bookkeeping and pulling together manual records. Now that's gone, disappeared. So there is a challenge on training to make sure that stays alive. But the skill set now is we have, you know, AAT trainees 6 months into the job that are speaking to clients, and yeah, their advice is quite basic at that level. It's more analytical of looking at things that have changed or expenses that might be on the high side. But they're still speaking and engaging with clients way before I was getting involved in that kind of thing back in my training. So the skill set requirement has definitely shifted. Yeah, less technical, more social, I guess, is becoming more important. But that's not to say that accountants shouldn't know debits and credits, because if something goes wrong in that system or is an error, it's that technical knowledge you have to fall back on to fix things ultimately.
Yeah.
But it is changing for sure.
What are the benefits to a firm of really getting a handle on digital strategy?
Benefits are huge. I mean, you've seen some of the small firms that have set up, have gone from employing one member of staff to 10. Rapid growth, really making waves. And it's no coincidence that they're, you know, on zero stage, on QuickBooks stage. Digital strategy being a major part of that, and they wouldn't have had that growth without it. There's lots of talk about millennials, Generation Z. I think they're about 30% of the workforce right now. 5 years' time, they're about 70%. Their needs and expectations. You want things now, you want things instant, what, any time of day, live. The days of signing up with an accountant and waiting 2 weeks for an engagement letter in the post. What?
Yeah.
Go online and get that in seconds from somewhere else. So I'm going to pinch a quote from Rob Collins, actually, who says, accountancy right now is going through the blockbuster Netflix era right now, and no accountant should be left selling DVDs, and that's very much where we're at the moment.
That's a really good quote. So what mistakes do firms make when adopting a digital strategy?
Classic one is to look at the fancy advisory, see the money in that, see the value in that, and jump straight into that. No core skills around cloud accounting or changing processes around it. And things like Futrli, Fathom, Fluidly are fantastic apps that can add that value. But there's no way you can jump straight into that without, I think, a core base of clients that use cloud products and a core understanding of what that is. So a classic one is to try and jump into that. It doesn't work. Time costs are huge. And things go from bad to worse almost. And straight away, that's a barrier for staff to not use it. And the other one is on implementation of cloud. And we did loads when we started. You move someone to cloud software. You talk to them loads for a month. You get very close to them. You know the family's names, dog names, where they want to go on holiday. They talk to you a lot. They phone a lot. And then the conversion's over. And then they carry on calling you a lot. And that's fantastic. But there has to be a line of, right, well, what is accountancy advice and support? And what is technical support? And when you replace, like, technical support, where they might have had Sage in the past and they're phoning you. When we started, there was no pricing structure for that. There was no line on when conversion ends and when support starts. And what happens is then you end up with thousands of pounds on the clock, lots of time, very happy client, but dreadful recoveries. And internally, it kills you effectively if you keep going on that way. Yeah. The more you grow, the more you kind of get absolutely slaughtered with the amount of support that you're having to deliver. So that's, again, a common one, because you're keen to move things forward. You give advice away for free, or you know we've got 50 clients that are all getting that level of support that cannot be maintained. You do need a cloud champion in your office. You need someone to push it, champion it. But sometimes people will say to me, oh, we've got cloud now, we've got a digital strategy, oh, it's with Lisa and on her desk and she's driving it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, yeah, they've got to champion it, but it's got to be firm-wide. Everyone's got to at least understand what's happening, and it's not one person's responsibility to deliver cloud and stop.
That's a great point. It needs to be weaved into the culture of a firm, doesn't it, for it to be really effective?
Yeah, absolutely. Culture is everything for success. It is point one, really, to make things move. And yeah, those that are more successful, yeah, they'll have a champion, they'll have someone leading it, but it spreads. It doesn't just sit on someone's portfolio.
Now, technology is moving really fast. Is there anything you've changed your mind on in the last few years?
I'm always changing my mind. there are some fantastic thought leaders in the business, you know, the Wealth Arnell, James Ashford, that have been fantastic in the community-wise for different ways of working. So bookkeeping was one, the move to weekly bookkeeping. It's been huge. We haven't got all our clients on it, far from it, but we're transitioning to it, and we're finding that is adding more value and making us more efficient and not ramping up costs on time as maybe I would have thought initially. So that regular contact really is weekly to that level. And again, I guess just what apps we can support clients with, and the balance of what we assist clients with and what clients are self-sufficient with, I guess that's always a bit of a moving feast and a moving line of things like debt collection, things like Chaser and Fluidly. Is that something we give to the client, which I originally thought, yeah, you know, it's a debt collecting app, that's out of our remit, that's their responsibility. To actually, do you know what? We can bring that in-house and we can collect debts, which is very different for an accountant. Very scary for someone to pick up the phone and chase a client's debt for them.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the way the world of accounting is bleeding into other roles. I wouldn't have said that 2 years ago. I said, no, that's too far. But the more I think about it, the more these apps touch different areas of a business, the more I think accountants are going to get involved with that kind of work.
Is there any bad doctrine or myths that you see being put out there that you want to quash right now?
Well, compliance is dead certainly is one that gets mentioned quite a lot. And I think, no, for me, that's a bedrock for sure. there is a feeling that cloud accountants are sometimes lesser of an accountant, I guess. There's certainly amongst some of the big firms that are we're big odds, so we've got huge clients, so cloud won't affect us, it won't come to us. And I'd certainly say, newsflash, it's working its way up the chain in terms of it might have started as Bob the plumber at £80,000 sales, but we're moving up and up and up, and we're doing some really sophisticated conversions now from multinational £100 million turnover companies. So it's moving up the value chain.
Do you feel accountants are getting the most out of the cloud and in terms of delivering client service and maybe differentiate themselves?
A small handful probably are. Still a way to go for a lot of people. There's certainly more value, particularly on the app stack. I can appreciate it's hard when you weigh up, there's 800 different apps that can plug into your Xero and your QuickBooks and your Sages now. So it is hard on where to start and how to maximise that proposition. But I'd say even taking a core stack of 5 or 10 apps, really get to know them, get used to them, and just add value from there is a great starting point.
And you believe that a digital strategy and cloud adoption can help a firm differentiate? Because in some clients' eyes, one firm is much the same as another firm, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I mean, at the moment, there's still a differentiator of being a cloud accountant as such. I think that's becoming less and less, particularly as the small, more agile firms that are pure cloud, there are way more of them now. And you know, I was at Xerocon last week. It was littered with cloud accountants, whereas 5, 6 years ago, there was a few hundred people there. So I think you need to do more these days than say, I am just a cloud or a digital accountant. And that's where the extra value of things like the apps and the other advisory, whether it's cash flow forecasting, helping debt collection, helping streamline payment processes, those kind of things are still being touched on. And even how we use the data and reporting of being, there are some firms that are really specializing in, whether it's restaurants and bar, construction, really getting a fantastic niche. And those that do that are just seeing phenomenal growth at the moment.
Yeah. Here at my company, the Business Development Academy, we're very big on BD. Obviously, it's a subject close to my heart. Does digital give any advantages to accountants in the way they go about winning work and bringing in new clients?
Well, I've certainly seen that in the last 3 or 4 months, to be honest. I've really made it a part of the strategy, really, part of the marketing team to really use social media, grow and work. Things like, I mean, LinkedIn is fantastic, and we're seeing the growth of people posting on their videos on there now, becoming quite commonplace. And even things like Instagram and Twitter, that social platform is a place where people are now contacting me directly for work. We've won a fair amount of work directly from social platforms. And also to enhance your physical representation, I guess, that when you meet people at events or networking, the first place they're going to look afterwards is your website, social media. So if that isn't in line with what you're saying at these events, then I think you can stop right there, really, that can quash that next inquiry. On the recruitment front, we've seen a few new staff that have joined us on the back of looking at our Twitter, suss out what kind of firm we are. So I think it's got to be part of not just the digital and client side of things, but from a staffing and recruitment side of things as well. It's very important.
Yeah, and it's interesting you put social media under the digital umbrella. It would traditionally have come under marketing, but I guess it is digital, isn't it?
I think so. I think there is obviously traditional marketing and PR, but the two dovetail so well, and I spend so much of my time with our marketing department in terms of rollouts and how we're going to get that message across. And again, I still think there's a few accountants that do it really, really well that you can see everywhere on social media, but it's still very untapped, particularly from your top 20, top 50 traditional firms. They are in a difficult place of being a corporate entity with very traditional clients, but then the next generation of millennials, Generation Z, that are not interested in that kind of media whatsoever. And it can be difficult to be rocking a hard place to tailor your media and your PR to both sets of users. So it's not easy.
Do you think we've seen that the zenith, the peak of cloud accounting and digital, or is there a lot more to come?
I think there's more to come. I think it's becoming mainstream now. We're getting to the point, a tipping point, I think, where in terms of cloud adoption, I look at some stats and see percentage-wise of accountants, it's still quite on the low side, so there's still scope to go. And admittedly, I probably live in a bit of a cloud bubble sometimes and associate with a lot of cloud accountants, so maybe feel like it's more embedded in mainstream than it actually is. On adoption-wise, yeah, we're getting there. We're not far away. But again, on use of the data, we're barely scratching the surface. I think accounts will be very different, even 5 years' time, on what we can do and what accountants can offer.
Frightening. So what do you love most about what you do, Stuart?
I absolutely love it. I am like a preacher. I say I'm convert post-that. I just love making businesses' lives easier. I had one client cry in front of me when we got him so much time back. Small business, and he used to spend weekends doing his books and records. and he got time back with his kids, and he was crying saying, I can watch my kid play football on Saturday. And that's better than any number or anything, you know. That really tops it. And then for other businesses, just seeing them succeed. And I really like working with startups and young businesses. It's nice to be a part of seeing that kind of acorn grow into something special and grow and employ other people. So that's probably the biggest plus.
What frustrates you most about your role? Because there are no perfect jobs, are there?
Nope. I guess the speed of change for me, because I'm a very yellow personality, I guess, like big thinker, big strategy, extrovert, really excited by big shiny things. I want to sometimes push things and move to the next thing. And obviously in a big firm at UHY, that takes time sometimes to change mindsets and move things. Certainly across the UK, all offices, it takes time. So it can be frustrating for sure in that sense to move things along, probably the biggest one.
If I gave you an extra 5 hours a week for the next 2 or 3 years, what would you do with them?
Oof, that's a good question. I still don't get enough time on looking at some of the apps and strategy-wise on where things can roll out and how we can continue to add value for clients. Still find myself getting involved a little bit too much sometimes with the day-to-day general queries and trying to pull myself away from that into globally, kind of how can we add value from a strategic point of view.
That's an interesting point, because you've got one foot in the now and the implementation and the rollout, but one foot in what's coming next and what's going to be my next steps.
Yeah, it's really tricky to try and balance that, particularly on a national level. On a national level, I'm always trying to be at the front of what is next, knowing how much to invest in our existing technology and existing apps and how much needs to be looking at what's next and what's new. Is a big part of my role on a national level. It's fun, but at the same time, incredibly stressful at times.
If people want to get in touch with you, have a conversation, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Yeah, I mean, LinkedIn is my preferred method. Anything on social media is great.
It's been great today. Leave us, would you, with some encouragement, some advice for the accountants listening that do have an interest in digital, perhaps might be struggling to drive the agenda within their firms. What would you say to them?
I would say, well, never give up. Just starters. You're on the winning side. It is the way that the accountants profession is going to go. And I'd say the most important thing is to get buy-in from the top. It's got to be the lead decision makers that have got to be on board. And yeah, they don't need to implement things. They don't need to sing and dance quite a way like I do, for example, as the cloud champion. But they need to absolutely back your decisions and get behind it. So if you want to implement something new or trial it, they're the person that's got to believe. A few times things fail because someone's out on a limb trying to not be given the resource to give it time.
Yeah. Well, sure, Hurst, that's been terrific. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.